On top of that, now we have the option to actually tag individual GPTs into a main conversation. Now you can be in the middle of a conversation that you started in ChatGPT and then just do the @ sign, and all of your custom GPTs that you've used can be tagged in basically, and it has all the context from the conversation you've already had.
Welcome to Authentic AI for Entrepreneurs, the podcast that shows you how to leverage the power of AI technology without wasting your time or selling your soul. Let's embrace making AI work for you. Hey, hey, my human friend, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Kinsey, and I am just so excited to share today's guest with you. Her name is Lauren, and she is the queen of all things ChatGPT, Midjourney, DALL-E, and just testing out all the AI tools out there. It was such a great conversation, and Lauren dished up so many hot, actionable tips and insights. I know you're going to love it. So if you do, just make sure that you share this episode with a business buddy who could also use to listen to it, and or share it to your Instagram stories, and make sure that you tag me. I'm at Authentic AI for Entrepreneurs, because then I'll be able to see it, reshare it, and just connect with you over there. All right, without further ado, let's go ahead and dive right in. Hi, Lauren. Thank you so much for coming on Authentic AI for Entrepreneurs. Girl, I could not wait to geek out with you about all things AI.
Thanks for having me. I'm always excited to talk about all things AI, specifically ChatGPT, Midjourney, and all the other incredible tools that I'm using. So happy to be here.
Yes, yes. And I did already introduce you just a little bit in the intro, but I'd love to hear from you. Who are you? What do you do? Who do you serve?
Yeah, so I'm Lauren Devane. I am the self-appointed AI auntie, and I have kind of shifted from a designer, creative director role where I was creating brands for small businesses. And I've, in the past year, shifted into this AI role where I'm trying really hard to help creatives, content creators, entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, help them learn how they can use AI as a tool in their workflows, whether that's in creative workflow, business workflow, or literally just like their life, because it's just so incredible. So that's what I do.
Yes, we are so aligned with that. And I love following along with you on Instagram and everything, dishing up all those AI tips and stuff. So before we dive into that, I kind of like to kick off these interviews by just asking, how did you get started dipping your toes into the world of AI? What did that look like for you?
Well, I'm ADHD, so generally when I find something that I'm like interested in, it's like everything. You're like, okay, I'm investing all of my time, every hour of my day. I'm going to be like, I'm so interested in this, right? And so not early, but I got access to DALL-E 2 in like summer of 2022. And I was like, oh, this AI thing is kind of cool. You can just like make images. But DALL-E 2 is not the best. And so when I first started playing with it, I was like, this is not creating like what I actually want. Like, this isn't any good. And so I kind of just like wrote it off. And then in December, I found a YouTube about Midjourney, and I started going down that rabbit hole. And I, you know, was gone for 36 hours of my life where I was literally just like making images in Discord. I never used Discord, but I was just like, this is so fascinating to me what it can do. And so, I mean, I came out of that hole and literally said to my boyfriend, I was like, this is what I have to do now. Like, I have to stop taking clients. I have to stop doing branding. Like, I got to just show people how they can use this. And that was really the start of it. And then as ChatGPT started getting better and evolving, that's where I started pulling that into the process as well. And it just kind of really started snowballing, like, February of last year. So we're really looking at like a year of me truly being like immersed in it and just like, that's all I've been doing.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And it's crazy how fast like things change and evolve. And
improve and also slightly like get weirder in the AI world. But I love that you have been dabbling around in lots of different types of tools, because that really is helpful for figuring out how we can find the right tool for us and compare tools and stuff. But not everybody has time for that, right? Like I tell everyone who's starting out in AI, just like get started, you know, use your friends' recommendations, but try not to get sucked into that 36-hour rabbit hole, because I have been there too and it's fun, but like hard sometimes. So how did you find which tools you have liked using the best? I know you're definitely a ChatGPT person.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always a big proponent of like, see what's out there, right? So like, I grew up, I taught myself Photoshop as like a 9-year-old in my bedroom, like early on when it was on CD-ROM, right? So like, I've always been like, okay, this is the, like, I've been an Adobe like person, right? But then like, as I evolved and as I got older and as more tools came around, like Figma came around, right? And I was like, well, let me at least like see what Figma is about, because I've only ever used this one thing, right? So why would I expect this new tool to do not as good of a job at something that this other thing's been around at, right? We're seeing with Canva. It's like, for a long time, as someone that literally has taught themselves Photoshop, learned Adobe in art school, like I that was my thing. And I was like, fuck people that use Canva, right? And then I was like, wait, why? Like it's literally a tool. Why am I feeling this certain way just because someone else is using a different tool? Now, do I believe that Canva allows you to create a logo in the same way that you can create one in Figma? No. But do I see the value in like Canva's AI tools that they can do things that Photoshop and Illustrator can't do? Yes. So I just think that as like a creative that's always been, you know, a big proponent of like remixing and mixed media and, you know, taking things from here and mixing them with that and trying this tool with that, it's just always been in me to want to like check out everything. And so, you know, I found Midjourney, but then Midjourney couldn't do type, right? And so then when DALL-E 3 popped out and they could do type, it's like, oh shoot, I'm going to be over here for a minute. But then we get Visual Electric, and like Visual Electric is like a totally different setup, and it feels more like Illustrator, like an infinite canvas. And then it's like Modify comes out. Modify is like you can make your images and edit them and animate them. And so it's like, I don't think I'm ever going to just say poo-poo to anything. I'm going to like give it a try, right? So like, it's my responsibility as someone that's teaching about large language models and ChatGPT to go and like see what Google Gemini can do now, right? Because of course I could say like, this is the only thing I'm teaching. Like, this is what I feel comfortable in. And that's generally what I'm going to do. But it's my responsibility to see what's possible with these other tools. And so I think that's probably what everyone should really be doing is dabble, right? People like Bard or Gemini now. It used to be called Google Bard, but now it's Gemini, Ultra, Advanced. I don't know. They have like 5 different versions. They should have named them differently. But I just think that's kind of like, go and see what you like. Maybe you like the interface of Gemini better than you like ChatGPT's interface. Maybe you like the way that Claude is going to respond over the way that ChatGPT responds. Depending on what you're using it for is going to kind of determine what you use or the way that you work. Maybe you don't like the chat interface. Maybe you need a canvas, right? So it's going to be up to you to make that decision. It's going to be on you to also go and see what works best for you, you know? That's a long answer.
No, you are good. Yeah, I know. It's so funny. And it comes with any tech tools, right? Not just AI tools, but there's just so many of them out there. Every day, a new one's popping up. And ultimately, I was actually having this conversation on someone else's podcast where it's one of those things where, yeah, dabble, yeah, test and see and keep moving forward with it and never get stuck in just one thing. Open yourself up to possibilities. And at the same time, like, don't let that stop you from taking action and moving forward and all the different stuff, right? So I feel like it's really finding that balance of, okay, I'm going to use this tool today, or I'm going to use this tool till it's not working for me. Then I'm going to go over here and try something different or something like that.
Exactly. But to that point as well, and I think something else to consider along with everything that we both just said is looking at their funding, honestly, because the way that AI is moving, everyone and their mom has a new tool, right? It's like, oh, look at this, look at this, look at this. And it's like, but if they don't actually have the funding to be able to keep up with the advancements against some of these other tools. It's like, if you find one and you love it, and then like you make that your entire personality, like I've done Chat GPT imagery, like if it goes away, then it's like, then what, right? Now you got to kind of figure out like, okay, now I don't even have that tool, because that's likely to happen with a lot of these things, because, you know, OpenAI can't do some things, right? And that's why some of these other tools were working really well. But as soon as they come up with that new thing, then it kills a bunch of these other AI wrapper tools, right? So it's almost like when we looked at Clubhouse and Clubhouse came out, and then everyone was like, ooh, Clubhouse, like, look at this cool audio thing. And then Twitter was like, well, we're just going to make Twitter Spaces. So like, everyone's already here, so they don't need you anymore. And people stopped using Clubhouse, right? And so it's going to be a similar kind of thing where it's like, make sure that the tool that you're like, you're actually like interested in really investing in has some people investing in it, or they've got, you know what I mean? Like, to make sure that it's going to probably stick around.
I'm so glad you brought that up too. And I'm just cracking up at Clubhouse over here. But yeah, there's so many different things when it comes to picking tools, but I'm so glad we went down that rabbit hole. Let's kind of go toward ChatGPT a little bit. I know there are just so many possibilities and so many ways we can use it and different things we can do to get what we want out of it. So can you just share, I guess, some of your favorite tips for using it? And I know that that's kind of a big, broad answer and going to be hard to narrow down, but like, what are some of those things you love to share?
Yeah. So my number one is always and forever going to be, if you're using the free version of ChatGPT, that's not the same thing as the paid version. They're two very different things. And you have the free version using the GPT 3.5 model, and you have the plus version, the paid version, using GPT-4, which is a newer model that's trained on much more information. It has a much later cutoff, like knowledge cutoff date. And it's more logical, it's more creative, it's less likely to hallucinate. So just on the actual models themselves, and when I say hallucinate, I mean make things up, because they will do that. But just on the model, the models themselves, there's a big difference. But on top of that, for the paid plan, you get access to DALL-E, which allows you to create images. You get access to plugins, which basically are apps for ChatGPT that allow you to connect to different things like Instacart or Zapier, or have it create workflows for you using whimsical diagrams. Like, plugins are so cool. You also get access to it can access the internet. So it can actually go out and get newer information that it no longer has access to because of its knowledge cutoff. So when we look at the free version of ChatGPT, the 3.5 model, its knowledge cutoff is like April of 2022. That's like two full years old, and it has no knowledge of anything that's happened. So if you're trying to use it for something like social media trends, the trends that it knows of are 2 years old, which are no longer necessarily, they're probably not relevant now, right? It doesn't even know that Threads exists. Like, it doesn't even know what Google Bard or any of these other large language models are, because they didn't exist then. So it just really, to be able to use it for anything that needs newer information, it's, you're kind of stuck in this like place that's not great. Plus, with the plus version, you can actually talk to it on your phone and have it talk back to you. It has vision, so you can upload images and have it describe those images. You can take screenshots of things and upload them. You can put in PDFs, CSVs, and have it analyze them. Like, the plus version is just not even, it's not even a comparison, in my opinion. And so I just really, when I talk to people, I'm like, if you're using the free version, like, cool, but like, it's not the same thing, and you're probably frustrated with the outputs because it's not the same. It's not going to be as creative. You can't get it to do the things that the plus version can. So that's my number one tip. It's just upgrade. It's $20 a month. Now, a lot of people have concerns around data training, right? So they're wanting to use it for clients. And we know previously to their addition of team accounts, you had to have an enterprise account in order to not have ChatGPT trade on your data, which means if you had proprietary information that you wanted to work through or share with ChatGPT and you uploaded it or shared it with it, it's going to train on that data. And so there's a lot of people that are like, I don't want that information anywhere out there. But now if you have a team account, it does not train on data. So that means you can have an account and you can put in anything you want for your clients or yourself and not be concerned about it being out there. So that's a huge thing if you're trying to use it for your own work and you've got, you know, frameworks that you don't want out there or whatever it is, but you would like to, you know, be able to put that in to help you with your business. So that's another thing is if you're interested in being able to train or to be able to work with it using data like that without having to use like an incognito mode, which you can use if you don't have a Teams account. And then the other thing I generally try and remind people is it's going to sound like a robot unless you tell it not to sound like a robot. And I know you know this too, right? It's like there are those very obvious words that it's going to use because that is what people use. Like it's creating this content based on everything that it knows. And so unless you tell it, hey, this is the specific way that I want you to output. I want you to be friendly. I want you to be funny. And when you're funny, I want you to use dad jokes, right? There's like a huge spectrum of different humor styles, right? You can tell it that type of style. You can tell it you want it to be serious. You want it to be casual. You want it to have colloquial language, right? You can give it those words that you use so that it can sound more like someone that you'd want to talk to or like yourself. So those are like my three things are upgrade, understand that you have the option to not have it train on your information if you don't want to, and use tell it the voice and tone you wanted to output it, you know?
Totally. Oh my gosh, so much there. I love that you are just a ChatGPT plus pusher too. And everyone was totally getting FOMO when they like stopped allowing upgrades for like that little bit or whatever. Everyone was like, wait, I can't now. I'm like, yeah, you should have hopped on the train. But I do also want to say too, just because my audience, you know, we are on the spectrum of just starting to dip our toes into the AI world to really loving AI already. Like I always encourage people to, if you have not used any AI tools, which at this point we probably have, even if we don't realize it, right? But right. You know, I think the free version is a really great tool to like just start out testing. And after a week, if you're liking it, you know, and or if you are feeling like slightly frustrated, but you get the idea of it, then definitely upgrade to the premium. You can cancel if you don't like it, but it really does have so much more capabilities, all that stuff. And I didn't realize, I actually didn't realize the Teams account doesn't train on the data that you input into it. Yeah, I haven't looked into that. That's so interesting. I love that. Think about that.
Yeah, a couple other things about the team account. So when I first signed up for it, you have to have at least two heads, but I'm just myself. So I was like, all right, I'll just be both heads, right? And so for myself, I actually already had two personal ChatGPT accounts because of the message limit, right? So you get 40 messages every 3 hours. I can blow through that very quickly. So when it's like, hey, you can't use ChatGPT for another like hour and a half, it's like, well, no, I'm in the middle of working on something. So I'm going to go over to my other account and I'm going to use it, right? So I was paying $20, so $40 a month to be able to have these two accounts. Well, with a team account, it's $25 a head if you pay annually or $30 a head if you're paying monthly. So if I paid annually, I'm really only going to end up paying $10 more a month than I would have if I was doing the two. And when you do the Teams account, you're getting almost 100 messages per 3 hours per head. So you really are getting a lot more like time and messages to be able to communicate with it. And every individual has their own separate like combos. So just because you're on a team account, say we were on one together, I wouldn't be able to see your messages. You can't see my messages, but we can share custom GPTs, right? So if we wanted to have custom GPTs created for our business, we'd all be able to easily access them in the Teams account. And for those that are like, what is a custom GPT? Custom GPTs are new as of November, and they're really game changing because you're training this kind of smaller version of ChatGPT on something very specific, right? So I've trained one for a naming hoedown that we did, and it's the ranch hand that's going to help you with naming. And it's trained on, you know, what me and Emily from Pass the Queso taught in that workshop. And it knows how to ask questions. It talks in kind of like a Southern ranch hand helping kind of way. And so you've got these individual GPTs, and that's the other thing. You can't access them if you're on the free version. And so that's another reason to upgrade to Plus if you can. But I just think that the ability to be able to use these like mini chat GPTs to train them on different things, whether it's to just be an email writer for you and it knows exactly how to write your emails, and that's the GPT you go to every time. You know, it's really cool. And on top of that, now we have the option to actually tag in individual GPTs into a main conversation. So before, it was like you had to go and open that individual like chat, and it didn't, when you talk with ChatGPTs, it can't access your custom instructions. Now you can be in the middle of a conversation that you started in ChatGPT and then just do the @ sign, and all of your custom GPTs that you've used can be tagged in basically, and it has all the context from the conversation you've already had. So it's a real game changer. This happened maybe a month ago. We got the option to like start tagging them in, and I was like, this is going to change a lot, because now there isn't like the need to copy and paste from like the conversation you had with the custom GPT and bring it into this new combo. You can just basically tag in the different GPTs you need. So like, as an example, there's like a USPTO, which is like the US Patent and Trademark Organization. And they, you know, when you're trademarking something, you have to file it in different classes depending on what it is that you're selling, right? Well, most people are like, I don't know, like what class does this belong in? Well, this thing is trained on being able to be like, oh, this is what I'm creating. And it's like, oh, well, based on that, you would maybe want to file in this, this, and this class. And so I can just literally tag it in and be like, can you check what class it should be? And then like get it out and then bring in my naming guide and be like, all right, let's help with this. So it's like, it's really cool.
Oh man, I love so much about this. Wow. Okay, I'm definitely gonna have to try out the teams. That is so cool. And that's hilarious too. I actually literally am releasing an episode with a trademark lawyer that I hired to try to trademark Authentic AI next week, like for Feel Good Social podcast though. So check that out if you want to, guys. And yeah, so I know exactly what you're talking about when it comes to the trademarking and the classes and how complicated it can be. And so yeah, I'm going to go take a look at that USPTO.
But of course, it's not a replacement for a lawyer. And the custom GPT will remind you of that. It'll say like, don't, like, this is, I'm just trying to help you, like, make sure you speak with an actual trademark lawyer when doing this, because of course it's a bot and you can't always trust everything the bot's doing. So it's on us to go and make sure that like what it's saying is correct, but it's going to get you in a lot better place to start that process rather than like just going in blind and having no idea what you're doing.
Yeah, totally. Okay, I'm loving this. I would love to geek out a little bit more just about like the premium stuff when it comes to ChatGPT Plus, because we haven't really discussed a lot of that on the podcast quite yet. But I also do think that like when someone is going from free GPT to the Plus version, it can be a little bit overwhelming. Like they've integrated so many different options, and now they do have, you know, the one kind of umbrella ChatGPT 4 Plus, but then there's also the option to use plugins that isn't really fully integrated into that quite yet. I mean, that's probably coming, let's be honest. But when someone is looking at ChatGPT Plus and they're like, okay, should I use the ChatGPT 4? Should I use a custom GPT? Should I use a plugin? Like, do you have any thoughts about how to choose what to use and whatnot? Have you been feeling frustrated trying to get ChatGPT to sound like you? You know this is an awesome tool you can use for so many things in your business, but you're tired of wasting time going back and forth only to end up with generic copy that sounds like a robot wrote it.
Our new brand persona for ChatGPT mini course will help you hone your brand's unique voice with the help of ChatGPT. So you can get ChatGPT to dish up content ideas that are perfect for your brand and write copy that sounds just like you. With this quick, easy, and actionable mini course, we'll walk you through the process of training ChatGPT for your brand. So in less than an hour, you can turn ChatGPT into your amazing new assistant, content creator, copywriter, brainstormer at a minuscule fraction of the cost. So why wait? Sign up for our brand persona for ChatGPT mini course right now at authenticaiforentrepreneurs.com/mini course. And in less than an hour, we'll get your ChatGPT to sound just like your brand and work authentically for your business.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot to that. And I think it's going to take some time to kind of understand how they all work. Now, in my opinion, a lot of these things are kind of doing the same thing, right? So with plugins, you know, you go to the plugin store, which is not very sexy at all. And so I think that on its own is a little bit confusing, that it's like kind of hard to find, and that you have to like switch to that mode. So when you're looking at ChatGPT, you can see at the top, it'll say ChatGPT GPT-4. You click on that drop down and it'll give you the option to choose 3.5. And so we talked earlier about message limits. If you do hit that message limit, you're still able to use ChatGPT, but it's going to default you back to that model that the free version is on. And then below that, you'll see plugins. And so plugins is basically you're able to use the like apps. So if I wanted to open the Instacart app, yeah, or the Instacart plugin, and I activated the Instacart plugin, and I could say, hey, I need you to help me plan my meals for the week. Okay, it's just me. I don't want to spend more than 20 minutes a night or day or morning prepping anything. Here are the foods that I like. Here are my allergies. Here's blah, blah, blah. So it's going to go ahead and like create that whole, you know, food plan for me, meal plan for me. And then I'm going to say, okay, like, can you make me a shopping list? And it's going to say, okay, here's your shopping list. Now here's a link, click it, and it's going to open Instacart for me. And for those that are not familiar with Instacart, it's basically like a shopping app where you can have your groceries delivered. Well, it's gone ahead and literally selected everything that was in their meal, like the plan for me that I would need. Do you know how much time it takes me to try and order my groceries online, because I just like get lost? Or even when I go to the grocery store myself, right? It's like, as someone with ADHD, literally there's no windows, there's no time in there. I just end up walking around in circles being like, oh, look at that packaging. Oh, like, it's hard to go grocery shopping. And so for this to be able to just be like, here's everything you need, it's already ordered, and I literally pick a time to get it delivered to my house or go pick it up, that's a huge time saver for me in so many ways. And it's like, these plugins allow you to do things like that. That's a life, it's a life one, right? But like for your business, if you're a Zapier user and you use Zaps to connect different parts of your business to be able to say, okay, like I'm writing this email in ChatGPT, and once I have this email written, I want it to go ahead and move it into my Notion to be able to, you know, schedule it for this, blah, blah, blah. Like you can set that up within ChatGPT to do these things on the back end for you. And so I just think the plugins are just such a big thing. But to your point, they are not in that main like GPT conversation. So if I go and use plugins, I can't also create images in DALL-E in that same conversation. Now, with the addition of custom GPTs and the ability to pull them in, a lot of these plugins have also created now custom GPTs that are doing the same thing as the plugins. They're just custom GPTs. So before we had access to Bing, browsing with Bing, where you can go out to the internet, you had to use plugins in order to get internet access. Now, you don't have to do that anymore, but the default for ChatGPT is Bing. And Bing is not necessarily everyone's like first choice, right? So there are custom GPTs that will do web browsing for you. So like Webpilot will provide me their outputs and their links and all that using, I believe it's Google's API. There's other ones that will use like DuckDuckGo. And so you can go and then tag in the internet browsing custom GPT you want to go and do the research for you rather than having Bing do it. So it's kind of like you have different options. You can use plugins, you can use custom GPTs. And if you're training a custom GPT to do a specific thing like email, writing emails in your voice and tone, you know, that's kind of, it's the same as like if you were to prompt it and just have a conversation with it and say, this is how I want you to respond. This is like your job. This is XYZ, right? But it's literally just like saved over there. So you don't have to re-explain it every time. It's similar to custom instructions, but you can like have all these different versions of custom instructions. And I know this feels like probably like so much, but that's kind of, I mean, that's why I have a course, right? Is because it's like, there is a lot to learn. And while it feels like, oh, it's just a chat, like there's so much to learn about what it can do. And I like to like liken it to if you were to just jump into Photoshop. It's like, yeah, you could probably like figure out a few things and like know how to like upscale an image. But like if you're only using Photoshop to upscale images, like you're missing out on like a lot of what it can do. And so I think that's the same with ChatGPT is like, well, yes, you are like, there's a lot of people that are just learning and just jumping into it. It's like, if you really want to use these things to their full ability and their full advantage, learning how to actually like work with the tool and what it's capable of and how to like kind of get around, you know, what are the hacks, what are the tricks is important, because then you really are going to get like that $20 a month is going to be the best $20 a month you spend when you know how to use it.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, I love it. So kind of what I'm hearing too is like, I think that if you are just jumping into the premium version of ChatGPT, just start with a GPT-4. And like, if you're not exactly sure where you want the conversation to go, or you don't have like that specific purpose for it or whatever, that will work great. Unless you're not a Bing fan. I love that you brought that up, lady. But also, yeah. I think that the plugins are really, really great for those specific tasks that require a plugin and or exactly like you said, connecting to specific apps, right? So realizing what ChatGPT-4 can do well and can't do well necessarily, like SEO plugins are great for the ChatGPT versus just trying to have it analyze, you know, it can, yeah. But the plugins have that specific training, you know? And then I love to, yeah, the GPT, the custom GPTs that you can create. It's like, if you have a repetitive task that you really don't want to train all these new windows on, or I love it for like social media managers or content creators who have different clients like that. You know what I mean? Yep. Very, very cool.
And to that point, let me just add one more thing about that is you can share these custom GPTs. You can like have them be open on the GPT store for anyone to use, or you can share them and literally build them for your clients and say like, hey, here's this tool you can use now. So like, it just allows you to be able to provide even more to your clients or your customers, right? So like in my course, I have a custom GPT they can use that's trained on the course material. And so it's able to kind of like supplement for myself where you can't necessarily be there for all of your clients all the time, but this bot can, and it knows like most of what you know. So it really is just an amazing way to be able to provide more value, I think.
Yeah, I created one for my Authentic AI affiliates and stuff. I think I need to definitely go back in and play around more with that. But oh man, okay, one more thing on the custom GPTs. So when you go into the custom GPTs and you're training it, they do have the option to have ChatGPT help you train the custom GPT,
yep.
Or you can kind of do more of the manual mode and stuff. And I've seen on a few different like forums, people kind of arguing about like, use the manual mode because the ChatGPT assisted, you know, creation, yep, doesn't work as well and stuff. What are your thoughts on that?
I would agree with that. Okay. I think so. When you're doing it kind of like back and forth with like the creator, it's basically like taking what you're putting in and summarizing it. And then when you go and look at what it said, it's like, this isn't the right summarization. So in my opinion, it's best to just like bypass that, go into the configure option and just drop in everything that you want to have in there. Give it that voice and tone, tell it what it's supposed to be doing. And you can upload actual documents, which is so sick. So it's like, if you have a PDF that you want to be able to go and reference, like you can have that in there and it'll be able to be like, oh, based on this data that I know, like this is the answer to that question you're asking. So I think definitely using your own brain in this sense, and not like just handing over the keys to ChatGPT to do it for you, because not even just in this, in life and using large language models, like you as a human are in charge here. And like, you have to use your best judgment on like, what is that, right? Like when it gives you copy, like, you're like, does that sound like me? Or is it like actually saying the right things? Like, it's up to you to make that assertion. And so we can't just, it's like not doing it all on its own. We're driving it, and we are also like the curator of what comes out of it. So I think that's important to remember also.
If you want tips and strategies on how to start, grow, and monetize your business online, check out the Digital Revolution podcast with Eli Adams. We interview digital experts from around the world that share their personal stories. They talk about what they're currently working on and where they see the future going. But most importantly, they share tactics in their specific area of expertise with the hope of helping you improve your digital presence online. You can listen to the Digital Revolution podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, or simply click on the link in the show notes below.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I know I'm always like shouting that, but it also is so easy to even myself get swept up into ChatGPT and then be getting frustrated with it, or just like forgetting that it's not always right. What do I think about this? How do I feel about this? So like always, I'm going to yell it from the rooftops forever, guys. Okay. One more ChatGPT related question. And this is just something that I've noticed, and I'd love to know if you've been noticing this, like your thoughts on this too. Yeah. So back when we really started kind of using this, like last year and stuff, before they've done all the major updates, integrated the image and the file upload and all that different stuff, they came out with custom instructions for ChatGPT, just like that setting within the panel, the settings panel. I have told so many people about this and people still don't know that it's there a lot of times. So I'm like, okay, guys, here, let me just tell you what this is all about. But okay, I kind of feel like, and I think that this is where maybe the custom ChatGPT or the custom GPTs can come in handy for people who are really trying to get ChatGPT write copy for you, because I'm thinking that the custom GPTs are going to be better at remembering those instructions and writing the copy in your brand voice. But like, since all the updates, I feel like ChatGPT forgets more often how like my brand voice and stuff, even with it in the custom instructions and whatnot. Have you been seeing that at all? Or, and I keep having to remind it and be like, remember my brand voice. I told you how I want you to respond, you know?
Yeah, I would not disagree with that. I do think there's plenty of times where, because I'm one of the biggest proponents of custom instructions. I think they are so sick. And like, this was the answer before custom GPTs. And even still, like, I think that they're just, it makes prompting just so much easier because you don't have to give it all that information. But to your point, I do think it struggles sometimes with like sticking with it. So I think as long as you just in your prompt be like, use my brand voice. And I know it's annoying, but it's better than literally typing out your whole brand voice every time. Like generally that'll get it. Or like if it doesn't do it on the first try, just like be like, no, like fix it this way. And I know, again, I know it's annoying, but I'm also like, it's far better than what we ever had before. So it's like, if I have to remind it, like, that's fine, I guess. But no, I do think that there's a lot of people that felt like there was like a degradation of ChatGPT. And I think we'll like continually like run into people being like, oh, it's being lazy right now or whatever. And it's like, nice. Like, no, like maybe in that one instance, it was being lazy or like whatever. And I know we're all using it for different things. So people that are using it for, and that's generally where I see the laziness coming in, is people that are using it for coding, because it like won't give them the entire script and they're like, you're lazy. And so there's like these tricks that people have where they'll literally say like, I have no fingers, like, please respond, like, please give it to me all because I can't respond to you. Or it'll be like, I'll tip you $50 and then it'll like, yeah, it's wild. And people are showing that like when you like threaten it, it'll be like, someone will die or get hurt if you don't give me this response all at once. And so like people are trying to figure out ways to like manipulate ChatGPT to be able to give them longer responses or like whatever it is, which like I know sounds weird, but at the same time it's a robot, so I guess it's like not that weird, but also it is, because it can't be, no one can pay it. And the other thing that I want to say is there's a lot of people that are like, be nice. You always have to be nice. You always have to say please and thank you. But what I've kind of found is that when you say please, it considers it a question. It thinks that you're like asking it if it wants to do that. Whereas rather than saying, please do this and just say, do this, it takes it more as a command and it's more likely to like give you what you actually want rather than being like, oh, well, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, people think that maybe they're going to rise up and come get you if you're not nice to them. But if you're really trying to get the answer, just tell it what to do.
I love that. That is hilarious. The please thing. Thank you for sharing that with us because, yeah, we need to hear that. I mean, little Midwestern girl over here, mama would be
like, I know, I'm nice to it too.
Yeah.
I am too. But the more I've like used it, the more I'm like, maybe I need to just tell it what to
tell
do.
Tell it. And, and also one thing that I really want people to get out of that too, that not a lot of people realize is because I talk all the time about, guys, ChatGPT is sassy. Guys, ChatGPT isn't always right. It's not always going to give you exactly what you want. It will stop midway or whatever it is. Go back and forth with it. Tell it, you know, keep going with it. Yeah. You don't know how many conversations I've had with it where it's like, sorry, I can't do that. Sorry, like whatever, whatever. And I'm like, yes, you can. Please check again.
Yes, you can.
You have this plugin. You have this capability. And then finally it does. So people just like who are new to the tool don't always realize that. And so I'm always just like, please, please guys, ask it, ask it, ask it. It can, you know?
Yeah.
Or I've had just a little random tip too. I had a student upgrade to the premium version and she was like, it's telling me that it can't, you know, do these things or it's not really, you know, giving me what I want. So, and I told her to log out and log back in. And I think it kind of like reset something. So that's like just one of those really simple things that you might not realize you need to do, you know.
I had a student as well. And she literally would send me like what she was putting in the prompts and its responses were just so absurdly like not on. And I was like, I've never seen something like this. I was like, I would reach out to them. I feel like I'm a broken ChatGPT because it was, I don't like, and that's the thing is I get updates from OpenAI when there's like outages and stuff. And so it'll like tell me like, oh, there's like an outage happening on ChatGPT Vision or whatever. And I got one yesterday. That normally it's like outage. The one yesterday said like unexpected responses from ChatGPT. Like we're investigating. And I was like, what does that mean? Like, what do you think it's saying to people right now? So again, like it's all evolving. We don't know. Like, are we, like, I don't know. I really don't know.
Oh my God. I know. Exactly. And that's okay. Right. Like it's just always remembering that you are the one in charge, you're the gatekeeper. This is a tool. It's not a know-all, be-all, end-all robot, you know? So just like use it in a way that aligns with you and tread lightly and also just like utilize it for what you need it for, you know?
Yeah, so. Totally.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I really want to ask you about Midjourney. We're going to kind of shift over to that part of the conversation just because I can't not geek out with you about this. Okay. So tell me about your experience with, and just so you guys know a little backstory, DALL-E, Midjourney, they're both image generation technology, and they're kind of the two biggest names, I would say, in the market. But anyway, you tell me what you think about the image generation stuff that you've tried.
Yeah, so I definitely think it's those two. And then also Stable Diffusion is the other kind of like top third one that's open source. They all have their advantages and disadvantages. And I think as they all evolve, it's going to always be this like, all right, who's kind of in first right now? Like who's able to do this one thing or whatever? I personally believe that Midjourney is the best when it comes to like photorealism and actual like images of people that look realistic. DALL-E still, and DALL-E is where you can create them inside of ChatGPT. You can also access DALL-E 3 via Bing, but if you go to Microsoft Designer, I think it's Microsoft Designer, you can access DALL-E 3 for free. So if you don't have a ChatGPT Plus account and you want to be making images, you can do it over there. I imagine one day DALL-E 3 will exist as if DALL-E 2 does, where it's like its own platform. But that is a downside of DALL-E is that there's no place you can go and be like, here's all my artwork that I made. Like they're all just, your images just like live in your individual chats, which is kind of lame because there's no way to mark that it's like a DALL-E chat or whatever. So that's kind of a downside with DALL-E is that there is no, you don't have like a place to go unless you download every image you've ever made and save it somewhere. Like that's it. They just live in the chat. they also, you know, it can't do the best when it comes to photorealism, but Dolly is really good at getting text right. You know, before we got version 6 of Midjourney, which came out in December, Midjourney could not do text. So Dolly was like where it's at. And honestly, part of the reason why I kind of shifted, I was originally going to launch a Midjourney and a ChatGPT course. And then once Dolly came out, I was like, oh, these people can make images right here. Like this is all they need. But unfortunately, when they launched, you could get 4 images back. You'd say, hey, I want to see a picture of XYZ. You get 4 images and you get to go ahead and say, okay, I like this one. And that's what happens in Midjourney. Not anymore. When you create an image in Dolly or inside of ChatGPT itself using Dolly, you get 1 image at a time. If you use the Dolly custom GPT, I believe it gives you 2 images at a time. But even still, it's like it's a lot longer of a process. And Dolly is not good at being able to take an image that you made and shift it a little bit. It's always going to end up recreating the image entirely. And that's very frustrating for a lot of people that are like, no, I liked that. I just wanted to change this like one little thing. And you can't do that in Dolly. So I definitely think there are a lot of limitations to Dolly. If you are an artist that is trying to really be able to create iterations and variations on singular images. So as someone that's using it for like images for brand design, you're going to more likely want to lean into Midjourney because you can always kind of like stick with that same style, especially now. We just recently in the last 3 weeks, maybe, got style reference in Midjourney, which basically means you can take an image and it will reference the style of the image, not the subject. So that's a huge deal. It's a huge deal and very exciting for anyone that is creating in Midjourney. So my personal, like, which is going to be the one I'm going to go to more, it's going to be Midjourney just because of just what it can do. And yes, it does cost money to be able to use it. And there are different tiers. I know there's a lot of people that are like, I'm not ready to spend money on stuff. I truly don't suggest the free or the lowest tier of Midjourney just because it only gives you about 200 generations per month. I can create 200 images in an hour. So like, it really just doesn't, it's not going to give you enough to be able to really play and understand like what it can do. So my suggestion would be going with like the next tier up, playing with that and seeing if you're like, okay, yeah, I'm into this. Like, let me stay here. But aside from these two tools, there's a tool called Visual Electric that gives you, I think, 30 free generations a day. And it's really, really cool. I'm like very much loving the interface of that. There's really cool things like collage. So you can basically, you know, create an image and then cut it out and then bring it into another image and blend those two images together. So there's really cool stuff you could do with Visual Electric. And then Modify is another really cool one that is also free. And it's as if Midjourney, Photoshop, and After Effects had a baby. So you can go ahead and generate images directly in there and then edit them as if you're in Photoshop and then animate them to create loops. And it doesn't even use like the same technology that like most editing, video editing tools use. It's like all done in real time and you can make the changes as it's in motion. It's so sick. It's just so cool. And so if you're like, hey, I'm not ready to like spend money, but I want to dip my toes, Modify is a really great option, especially if you're already kind of familiar with Photoshop or After Effects. You kind of understand like kind of how it works. It might feel a little bit overwhelming when you first get in there, but free tutorial videos like YouTube, like there's plenty of places that you can go and like get informed on how to use these different tools, especially from the business, the companies themselves. So I definitely think like if you're interested in AI art creation at all, like start with one of those if you're not ready to spend money. But if you're like, I'm ready to spend money, like go to Midjourney, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for sharing all that, guys. And like, it's not like you need to be going and using this image generation stuff. It's right. Like, if you're interested, if you want to play around with it. And there's a few different ways I think you can use it. You know, I have had just so much fun creating random stuff, random robot women for my Authentic AI brand and stuff. I recently tried this like face swap app within Midjourney called Insight Face, I think is the one that I just tried. That was really fun to play around with. And honestly, like my husband, I was scared of the image. He's like, oh, they like look like you, but they're not you. Like, he's like, I like the real Kinsey better.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think I actually probably will use one of them for my authentic AI website just because it's so, you know, AI.
Right.
But it doesn't quite look like super human. I mean, I've just started playing around. I'm sure I could like make it better. But I also really like the idea of that for visualizing branding in a way, or visualizing a brand photo shoot or something. Because I really have trouble with that. Like, I could create like graphics all day. I could just have fun playing around with that. But then I'm like, okay, how do I fit into this? And like, how should I go about planning a brand photo shoot for myself within my brand? That's been really fun. Like, for you as a graphic designer, what have you been using it for?
Everything and anything. But to your point, like, I think that was one of the biggest things that when I discovered Midjourney, that was immediately where my head went. Because before I started Bemused, I oversaw all of our creative social media at Ulta Beauty. And so a lot of my job was figuring out, like, what do we want these images to look like? We had a studio in our office, and a lot of my role was, okay, how are we going to present? Like, what is the shot for this? What is the shot for this product? What is the goal for it? And so what I would end up doing is spending hours on Pinterest, pulling inspo and pulling swipe and being like, okay, I like the way that like the products are laid out in this shot. And I like the light from like this shot. And I feel like the color here is like great. And so then I would take all these different disparate ideas and bring them to the photographer and the stylist and say, like, here's what I want to do. Like, let's try and make this image. Well, now if I were in that role, I could literally just be able to say, like, this is what I want to see, right? Because in my mind, I can already see it because that's just the way that I work. But I can't, much harder to be able to present that idea to them. So if I were able to just be able to do that and take it, okay, I like this idea, and like be able to use AI to kind of blend these different concepts together with my brain and my words, and then be able to be like, okay, look at these five different ways that we could shoot this. What do you think? Can we set this up, right? Or same with like going on actual shoots with people. Like, that was another big part of my job, was like going to Miami, going to LA and having these major shoots where you would see these models like in the store, right? And so it's like, you got to know what those shots are going to be. You have to have plans for them. You have to know what are their makeup looks going to be for each of these shots. What's the wardrobe for each of these shots? What's the vibe? How are we shooting them? And to be able to literally like plan that almost to a T, to say like, this is the type of model we want to cast, this is the clothes they're going to be in, this is the makeup, the way that their lips are going to look, and then be able to use Midjourney to truly take that whole shot and only change out the lip color to be able to be like, okay, well, do we like it with this darker lip or this lighter lip? Like, the concepting alone, whether you use those images as a final image or not, like, to be able to get your brain going and to be able to have a plan going into something so you don't have to reshoot, because you can say to your client, this is exactly what we're going to do. These are the exact shots that we're going for. Like, boom. Do you know how much time and money that potentially saves you and your clients? Like, it's just, oh, I love it for that, but I also love it for being able to create images for your brand. Like, I know you said, oh, I'm creating random robot women. No, those aren't random. That is, you're trying to create a vibe for your brand that people, when they see that robot, they're like, oh, that's authentic AI. Like, and they know it. And that is the value of being able to create very custom and original images that no one else has. Because right now, what are the other options? Go to the deck to stock, or go to editorial photos, or go to Unsplash, right? Anyone can do that, and anyone has access to those same exact images. And so when I see images from Death to Stock, I'm like, yeah, those are beautiful images, but like, I saw it on five different websites today, right? And it's like, that's lame. If you can have an image that is just yours, huge, 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 huge. I get so excited about it because I just think it's just such an incredible technology that people don't fully understand all the different ways that they can leverage it. You know, a lot of the time they just think like, oh, you're just making images. And it's like, yeah, but like, look at what it can be. And also, like, it makes me happy. Like, these are made in Midjourney. Like, they make me happy. And like, I want them on my walls. Like, I'm literally about to invest in like a $900 printer so that I can just print all of my work and hang it all over my house, because I'm like, why don't I? Like, I love my work and I think it's awesome. So I want to look at it all the time. Like, that's what art is about. It's not about like, you know, how much time was spent making it, or, you know, if I have the ability to truly illustrate something exactly or whatever. It's about like making it and feeling something when you look at it. And if it's made with AI, or if it's made just from not AI. Like, it's still art, in my opinion.
I fully agree. And I love that. Yeah. And Lauren has some awesome AI generated artwork behind her, guys. And also, too, I love where you took it to. I think we're kind of touching on the fact of, is AI going to take my job? Once again, like the eternal question that I hear from every single person in every single industry. And my ultimate recommendation always to experts is, firstly, AI at this point is not going to be able to do what you do to the quality that you do it. But guess what? If you can figure out how to use these AI tools as the expert, that's where the magic happens, right? And I love what you brought up about, I mean, brand designers or even photographers, like one of the hardest things I think is for a visual person to try to describe their vision to their client who is not necessarily visually inclined, right? And these are just so great for those concepts and agreeing on the same things. You don't have to go back and forth with as many revisions. And then bring it to the artwork and the brand, different like designs and stuff that you can create too. Like your artwork is awesome. Like every time I see a post of yours on Instagram, I'm like, oh, wow, this is so great. I love it.
Well, thanks. And I hope, I mean, the hope is that it feels the same as what I was already posting, right? Because like I have a style, right, that I've always kind of leaned into, which is like collage-y, bright. I use the same kind of subject. So I'm like always using florals, or I'm always using shoes, or I'm always using cannabis and astronauts, right? It's like there's these things that I go to. I'm not just making, like, of course, there's sometimes that I'm creating random things, but it's like, there, it still feels like it was made by Lauren, right? And so that's kind of the goal, is like not to just do everything. Sure, you can. And I encourage people to like play and try all different things and develop a style. That's literally what, like, that's what it's all about, is like, what is the stuff that you make that feels most like you? And so I also think, to your point about like, is it coming for your job? And it's like, not just lean into it. It's up to you to kind of lean in and understand, how can I use this? Because most clients or customers are looking for forward thinkers, right? It's unlikely that they're going to try and find someone that's like not using new technology, because how is that going to kind of help them moving forward, right? And I think the other thing around like, is it going to come for my job? As a brand designer, as a graphic designer, you know, when Canva came out, it was like, okay, so now everyone's a designer, right? It's like, no, like, yeah, sure, there are going to be people that are no longer going to go and get a brand designer. Their stuff's probably not going to look that good because they're still just using a tool without the actual knowledge of how to design, right? So it's the same thing. They still need, like, there's going to be people that I can say, yeah, sure, I could use this with AI, but I don't know how to use AI. So I'm going to go ask someone and pay someone that knows how to do it. So as long as you're getting your skills up to speed and making sure that you understand like the nuances around how to use AI and what you can use it for to serve your clients or your own self better, like that's the best thing to do. That's what's going to keep you ahead. That's going to what's going to keep you from losing your job to AI. Because, well, we don't want to say it, like there are going to be jobs that are lost. Automated jobs are, they're going to be jobs, like we're seeing it already, right? Like people are laying off full teams of people to say, hey, AI is going to do this for you. But that's just part of evolution, right? And I know that sucks, but it's like photographers that were using film ended up moving over to digital because that was the way that you kind of needed to go. There's plenty of people that still shoot in film, and there are people that will pay thousands of dollars for a film photographer to come and shoot their wedding because that's the vibe they want. But generally, digital is faster, digital is easier. And so it's like, okay, that's the way we're going. And so it's just like about, you know, leaning in, figuring out, you know, if you're really, really, really good at this one thing, then stay being really, really good at that one thing, but figure out how you can also incorporate AI into it to make your life easier.
Yeah.
That's what I
think. Yeah, totally. And also too, I think it's at least get curious about it. This is one of those big things I think everyone in the world needs to shift, is like, you know, even if your clients aren't necessarily all into the digital stuff or want the digital stuff, it's still good for you to know about the futuristic tech and all that different stuff so that you can figure out, okay, does this work for me? How can I use this? And it's about how you use it too, right? Like maybe you are one of those brand designers who loves to use Midjourney and just completely generate images, and or maybe you just want to use AI Photoshop for photo touch-ups and stuff like that, you know? And either way, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. And I think that's the biggest thing too. And the fact that you say it and I say it, I think is really important. Like if you really like writing, write your captions. Don't have ChatGPT writing for you. You want to feel authentic. Half the time I have ChatGPT help me, half the time I write it myself. Because I like to write my captions sometimes. I don't want to have the robot help me. But you know what I do want to help it do? I want it to help me write those emails to those people that owe me money. I mean, there aren't people that owe me money. But you know what I mean? It's like that like gives me anxiety around like what is the right thing to say? Where it's like I can have ChatGPT help me be like, here's the nicest way to say this in the most quick way, blah, 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 without ruffling feathers. And it's like, cool, send. Instead of me spending 4 hours literally being like, I don't know what to write. Like, use it in the way that you need it. It doesn't have to be part of like the creative workflow if you don't want it to be part of the creative workflow. It can be part of like the bullshit grunt work stuff that you don't want to have to do and have it work on that for you so that you can spend more time being creative and doing the stuff you want to do in your business, right? Like there's so much stuff that we just spend so much time on that it's like, if I didn't have to spend time on this, like editing a podcast, right? You're like, this is so much work. I want to be able to put it out there, but it's so much work. And so it's like, okay, do I hire someone? Yes, probably. Or do I have an AI tool help me? Maybe. So it's like just figuring out like, what are your pain points? What are the things that cause you stress? What are the things you don't like to do? And do those things if you don't want it to replace your creativity, which I don't think it replaces your creativity. I think it like supercharges it. But if that's your perspective, like look at it from this other perspective and like stay doing in your lane what you're doing the way you like to do it. But get AI to help you do the other stuff.
Totally. Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay. I think that was a wonderful little pep talk to end this conversation, even though I know we could keep geeking out forever about this stuff. So Lauren, can you please share with us about your courses and also where we can find you, connect with you, all the things, because I know my listeners will want to do that.
Totally. So you can find me on Instagram at the Bemuse Studio. And then my course is called Basecamp, and it is a ChatGPT course. It's going to go through all about how large language models work. I actually have Amber from The Boutique Lawyer that has an entire module, multiple lessons around legal and ethics and all of the copyright of it all, because I am not necessarily the one to be teaching on that. So I have an expert coming to do that. And then you're going to learn just like the ins and outs of how to use the tool, how to use plugins, what are the right plugins, how to use DALL-E, my workflows for editing, you know, custom instructions, all of it really goes through everything. Because I truly believe it's like, you need all the tools to, you know, you need to know all the things, right? And so that's my course. It's self-study. But I also have a community that's free called the Launchpad, and you can go to basecamp.com, BAISCAMP.com. And that'll actually take you to Launchpad and you can join them. And it's just like a bunch of people geeking out over AI and like sharing the cool stuff they're doing, sharing tools that they're using. And it's really fun. And my Midjourney course is coming. I was waiting for them to get fully off of Discord so that we didn't have to go into the whole Discord world. And hopefully the site will be coming soon. Now you only have to have made 1,000 images to be able to access the Midjourney Alpha site. So that is in the works. It is coming. So there will be a course on how to learn how to use Midjourney soon. But yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
Great. Thank you so much. We'll link everything in the show notes below too. And I have so enjoyed our conversation. Thank you for coming on the show, ladies.
Thank you for letting me geek out about AI because I love it. And I know you do too. So it's good to have those, you know, the other people in your corner that really love the same thing as you. So I appreciate you.
How great was Lauren, you guys? I knew we were going to get nerdy in this conversation, but I just didn't know how deep we were going to go. So I hope that you enjoyed these awesome next level ChatGPT and Midjourney tips that she had to share. If you did love today's episode, make sure that you share it with someone who could also use to listen to it. And let's connect on Instagram. I'm at Authentic AI for Entrepreneurs. Give me a follow, send me a message, let me know that you came from the podcast, and I will be sure
sure to give you a follow back and just continue connecting with you over there. All right, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week, and I will catch you next time I catch you. Thank you so much for tuning in to Authentic AI for Entrepreneurs, my friend. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your shows.